We should always remember who we are. We should always remember who we are. And before I go on with my topic tonight, I want to first of all go to Numbers 16, just to explain that, because the man that I want to take up tonight, you might say he might have forgotten who he was. Numbers 16, there was instruction to the children of Israel. Sorry, it's Numbers 15. Go to Numbers 15, verse 37. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make fringes on the borders of their garment throughout their generations, that they put a fringe on the borders, a ribbon of blue. Blue is a heavenly color. And you and I are heavenly citizens. If we belong to the Lord Jesus, but it's interesting to see in the next verses about this ribbon of blue. By the way, when we get into the New Testament, we find that they made a big thing out of this. It says they enlarged the borders of their garments. And anything that man was given to do, he failed in, didn't he? And in verse 39, And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it. And that's what I was saying here. We should always remember who we are. Who are you? Who are you? That's the first thing. Do you belong to the Lord Jesus? Do you know Him as your Savior? That's the very first question that we should consider tonight. Do you belong to the Lord Jesus? We were talking about that last week, and it was last Friday, I guess. Talking about the man in 1 Samuel 30, where David came to this Egyptian that was laying in the field, and as soon as the Egyptian was revived, David says, "Who do you belong to? Who do you belong to?" And so we ask the question tonight, who do you belong to? Young people? Who do you belong to? Do you belong to the Lord Jesus? It's so important, isn't it, to belong to Him. It's not this little church down the street or this person or that person. It's a person that we belong to, the Lord Jesus. So this fringe, that it says, and that ye may look upon it. And so the children of Israel, they were to look down on that ribbon of blue in the border of their garment, and it was to remind them of who they were. And not only to remind them of who they were, but it says, that and remember all the commandments of the Lord. And it says, doesn't it? It says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And that's the whole precious word of God, isn't it? To be obedient. And all the commandments of the Lord, and do them. Two words, do them. Being obedient to the word of God. And everything that we read in the precious word of God, we should be obedient to it, shouldn't we? And so, it's very important. And that ye seek not after your own heart or your own eyes, of which ye used to go a-whoring. That ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto the Lord your God. It says in 1 Peter, it says, be holy, for I am holy. And God's standard is holiness for our walk and way and path through this world. And as we had last week in our readings in 1 Peter, we're pilgrims and strangers through this world. And we need the Lord Jesus for every step of our pathway down here, because we fail so much. The man I want to talk about, and I hope we'll have I'm going to just get out highlights of his life. The man that I'm going to talk about tonight is Jehoshaphat. So we go to 2 Samuel 17. Now Jehoshaphat was a very godly king, and he had a very godly father. Asa was his father. And so it is with each of us here tonight. Many of us, most of us, we all had godly fathers. And I look back at my own father and what a godly man he was. And he was an inspiration to me. And I don't think I could have ever had a better father and mother than what I had. And so we should thank God for the parents that we have that teach us the Word of God. But Jehoshaphat, one of the most godly kings. So we're just going to go and browse through. There's 3 1/4 chapters of Jehoshaphat, and some in 2 Kings. So 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, his son, that is Asa, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. I think of those words in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And we can't do anything without the Lord Jesus. Pardon me? Oh, a second chronicle. Did I? Oh. Huh. Sorry. 2 Chronicles. Sorry. Did I say Samuel? All right. Verse 5 of chapter 17, 2 Chronicles. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Notice those words. It says, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Now, if you go to chapter 18, and it says the same thing. He had riches and honor in abundance. Now, if you go to Proverbs 13, Proverbs 3, Proverbs 3, let's go verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared with unto her. Length of days are in her hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. I believe that in Proverbs the wisdom is personified. It's the Lord Jesus. We find in Proverbs 8, doth not wisdom cry? And of course we have wisdom in the precious Word of God, don't we? That's real wisdom in studying the Word of God every day. Let's go down now to verse 9. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. Isn't that wonderful? The book of the law of the Lord with them. And went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Wonderful. The word of God was well taught there in these days. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Verse 12. And Jehoshaphat waxed exceedingly. And he built in Judah castles and cities of store. The previous verse, the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 he-goats. verse 13, and he had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war and mighty men of valor were in Jerusalem, and so on, all the way down. When we get down to verse 17, we find that his army composed of 1,160,000 men. So you might say that Jehoshaphat was rich, he was mighty, and God blessed him exceedingly because he really loved the Lord. And he walked in the ways of David, his father, and he wanted to really serve the Lord. But there was a problem with Jehoshaphat. And this is the problem we're going to come to right now in chapter 18. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and in abundance. Now it would be all right if we were just to stop right there. And here's Jehoshaphat. He had riches and honor. He has everything. Solomon had everything too, didn't he? When he gets to the end of his life, he says it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. But if we could just stop right there in this verse and not go any further, it would be fine. But here's the problem with Jehoshaphat. It says he joined affinity with Ahab. In other words, you might say he forgot who he was. Now, who was Ahab? One of the most idolatrous kings that ever reigned in Israel. If you go to 1 Kings 21, I'll show you a little bit about Ahab. Well, you read it lots of times. 1 Kings 21, 21 and verse 25. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. He did very abominably in following idols, according to all things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and so on. An exceeding idolatrous king, one of the most wicked kings. And here's the problem with Jehoshaphat, a very godly king that he had. And what does he do? He joins affinity with Ahab. Verse 2, and after certain years he went down. Notice how precise the word of God is. He went down. It says of Abraham, he went down into Egypt. To Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance. For the people he had with him persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. Don't you think Jehoshaphat, with all that riches and honor and everything that he had enough? You see, here's Ahab, an idolatrous king, and he knew Jehoshaphat's weakness, and it says here that he slew sheep and oxen for him, for Jehoshaphat. He had enough. He had enough. You know, it says in James, forgetting our words too, but it says, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You know, everything we have in this world, we're going to leave behind. Everything. Everything that we got, we're going to leave behind when the Lord comes. it says here, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And we'll talk about Ramoth-Gilead in a minute. It says he persuaded him. I think that Wayne, in his last talk, took up Proverbs 4. Maybe it wasn't. Proverbs 4. Let's go to Proverbs 4. Now, these verses are important, especially for Proverbs 1. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. In other words, what he's saying by entice is, come with us. Come with us. consent thou not. If they say, come with us and let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot amongst us. Let us all have one purse. My son, think of that. What a pleading the Lord is saying to each one of us. Walk thou not in the way of them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, make haste to shed blood. So on. We'll go back to our chapter. And he persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. Well, there was a problem with Ramoth Gilead. And Ahab wanted Jehoshaphat to come with him to go to the battle to overcome Ramoth Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, verse 3, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me? See, there it is, just like we were just reading in Proverbs. Come with us. Come with us. You see, this is such an unequal yoke. It's awful. It's an awful yoke. Here is a child of God, remember who you are, and an idolatrous unbeliever. Now, what have they got in common? What have they got in common? Yesterday, I got called to a house. Now, look, I got a house. I got a car here. Will you come and fix it? And it didn't sound good at all. It was in a bad section of town down there. And so I go down there. And, the car's in my garage. Well, this young feller came out. And so he came around to the garage and he knocked on the door. Why knock on the door of a garage? I don't know. Well, inside was a couple in bed. Well, number one, it didn't look good, you know. And then the next thing, there's beer bottles, there's drugs, I just said, I'm getting out of here. Thank you. Goodbye. We've got nothing to do with this world, with anything that goes on in the filth in this world. Get away from it. Like I say again, remember who you are and who you belong to. Now look at what it says here. Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered, I am as thou art. Is that true? Is that I am as thou art? What a terrible statement. And my people is thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. So, okay, we'll come with you. We'll come with you. And now, Jehoshaphat, a godly king. Isn't it wonderful that we have the Spirit of God? You and I are indwelt with the Spirit of God and the voice of the shepherd. And many times we might not have Scripture for a certain situation that we get into. I know this has happened to myself quite often, that we might not have a certain Scripture for the problem that we get into. But the voice of the shepherd, many times, and you just feel uneasy about it. And when you get that feeling, don't go ahead. Don't go ahead. We need the clear mind of God for everything that we do and every place that we go. Verse 4. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Here he's talking to Ahab, who is idolatrous. Inquire. You see? He didn't even know the Lord. He didn't care about him. He was a wicked, idolatrous king. Therefore the king of Israel gathered together the prophets, 400 men, and said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. 400 said, go. And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord besides that we might that we might inquire of him?" Now look at what happens, what he says here. "And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord.'" See what it says? "But I hate him. I hate him." Isn't that solemn? There's Ahab, this idolatrous king who didn't know the Lord, who could care less, just like many today. God is not in all their thoughts. Don't think about God. Left God all completely out of their life. Going on their merry way and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's their lifestyle. You got anything to do with them? No. No, we haven't. Remember who we are. "But I hate him. For he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil." Okay. Now, we won't go through the rest of this chapter until we come to verse 28. So we find here, let me go back a little bit. Jehoshaphat and Ahab sat at the gate of the city together. Together. Is there a verse in the Word of God that would tell us not to do that? Well, I was thinking of Psalm 1. A very, very important verse for every one of us. And we should remember this all the time. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." What was Jehoshaphat doing? He was like that. "Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth at the seat of the scornful." There he was. There's Jehoshaphat. Now, look at the next verses. Is this for you? Is this for you? These are tremendous verses. Verse 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Isn't that wonderful? To meditate day and night in the precious Word of God. Do you delight in this? "And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You want prosperity in your life. I want prosperity in your life. You know, as you're growing up, you want to get ahead, don't you? And in school, you want to get ahead and you want to get top marks in your classes, and you want to get yourself a job and all these things. You want prosperity in your life. Here it is right here. The precious Word of God. Study it right from a child. Like it was to Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. And I've often made it this comment here, being the old mechanic that I am, and I always relate things to fixing a car, that these three things are very good for my own soul. Reading, meditation, and prayer. They're RPM. And you know, in a car, you need RPM for power to climb the hills, don't you? And you need the power to climb up those hills. And so reading, prayer, and meditation gives us the power to go through this world. We need that, don't we? Okay, now let's go back to our chapter. Verse 28 of chapter 18. "So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, 'I will disguise myself and go to the battle. But put thou on thy robes.' So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went to the battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, "Fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel." You see the target? I want you to get the king of Israel. That was Ahab. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, "It is the king of Israel." You see, here's a king, and he's in the battle. He had his robes on. He had his royal robes on, and he's in the battle. And they thought, well, naturally, this is Ahab. They probably never seen Ahab before. And so, see what happens. Therefore, they compassed him about to fight. Now, see what Jehoshaphat does? And Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. Isn't it wonderful that we've got one to cry to in a time of trouble? He says in Psalm 50:15, it says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Remember that verse? There's one to call to in a time of trouble. I've been in trouble many, many times. Call to him. He's there. And Jehoshaphat, this godly king, they were compassed him about. You know, that's what the enemy's trying to do to you young people. Compass him about. And he wants to compass you and wants to destroy our young people. Verse 32, "For it come to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture." Now, this is interesting. They didn't know Ahab, and he was disguised. And yet, here this it says, "A certain man drew a bow at a venture, eh? And smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Therefore, he said to his chariot man, 'Turn thine hand that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded.' And the battle increased that day, howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the evening. And about the time of the going down of the sun, he died." That's interesting. A certain man drew a bow at a venture. They didn't know who the king of Israel was. And that arrow went right, and it hit him in the joints of the harness. Who was it? There was another person that got hit in a very deadly spot and fell down dead. Huh? Who? The Lord? Huh? The Lord directed that stone. Where did it go? Lisa? Where did it hit the giant? Do you think that was adventure? Do you think that would just happen to happen that and it hit there? Do you think it just happened that way? No. I've often heard it said this way, that nothing happens by chance, does it? And I believe that God directed that arrow to Ahab, and I believe that that stone was directed by God to that giant. Okay. Chapter 19. "And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him and said to Jehoshaphat." Now, look at this. This is sad. This is very solemn. This is a real rebuke to a godly king. "Shouldst thou help the ungodly?" Can you answer that question? Should you help the ungodly? "And love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from the Lord." But in grace, the next verse, "Nevertheless there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the groves of the land, and thou hast prepared thine heart to seek God." Three times in Jehoshaphat's life, he allied himself with the idolatrous kings of Israel. The other time is in 1 Kings chapter 3, where was it Moab, Jehoshaphat, there was another king, I forget what it was. Edom, thank you. Three of them. And the situation was so bad that when Elisha was called in, they needed a minstrel for Elisha so he could discern the mind of the Lord. What a situation this was. Jehoshaphat shouldn't have been there that day. And he shouldn't have been here this day. And Jehoshaphat nearly lost his life because of his association with Ahab. It's solemn. Sometimes we never learn the lessons that we need to learn. let me see. I'm going to go on to the 20th chapter. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab... I want to say this, that when we go through this chapter, this is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Just follow with me in this chapter. We can see Jehoshaphat, something wonderful happening to Jehoshaphat here. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude from against thee from beyond the sea on this side Jordan, and behold, they are in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He had 1,160,000 people. Jehoshaphat, isn't that enough for this Syria? Isn't that enough? You're okay. You've got you can come up against this host. You're all right. You know, it doesn't say anything about what Jehoshaphat had in this chapter. Not a thing. Those 1,160,000 are not spoken of in this chapter. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? My help cometh from the Lord. Wonderful that we have one to come to in a time of need. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not now thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" Isn't that beautiful? "Art thou not our God?" Our God, that's a personal thing, "who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and givest it to thy seed of Abraham, thy friend forever." The same God that drove out the inhabitants of the land, that the same God that looked after and cared for the children of Israel all those 40 years through the desert and brought them into the promised land, the same God. And you know, there's a hymn that says, I forget the number. "And Israel's God is ours." Wonderful. The same God. He's going to look after us and care for us and keep us every day of our life. What a God we have. "And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help." Who was it that quoted those words? It was Solomon at the dedication of the temple. And there he is, using the very same words. "And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come and cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit." Now read this verse slowly. "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon Thee. Isn't that beautiful? We got no might against this great enemy that's coming against us. And we don't know what to do. Have you ever had situations like that? Many times. I've got no might. I got no strength. But look what it says. But our eyes are upon Thee. You know, that's the object. That's what we need. A single eye for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our eyes fixed on Him. I don't know how many times we heard that last weekend. Oh, we need our eyes upon the Lord. Now let's see what happens to this enemy. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great number, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You just hold that place there. And who was it that said, Be not afraid, neither be dismayed? In the first chapter of Joshua, it says, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. That word is beautiful, isn't it? It's present tense. It's right now. He's with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Okay, back to our chapter. verse 16. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they are come up by the cliffs. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. Didn't Moses say the same thing? Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. That great host of the Egyptians were all dead upon the seashore the next morning. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, neither be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe His prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of His holiness. And as they went out before the army and to say, Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Now, just picture this. Not a great big no mention of the army, no mention of weapons, no mention of anything. They went out to the battle singing. And they said, we got no strength, we got no might against this great enemy. They went out singing. You say, oh, they're going to get wiped out. I know many times I've gone into situations where my knees are just knocking and I'm just petrified, absolutely petrified of what's before me. And you know, you get there and there's no battle at all. No battle at all. verse 22. And they began to sing and to praise. The Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Seir. and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to destroy and to slay them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. They killed each other. So there was no enemy when Jehoshaphat got there. It was vanquished. What a God we have. What a wonderful God we have. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked to the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil, it was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Barakah. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Barakah unto this day. They come to this valley, and what do? They give thanks to the Lord. there's a psalm that I think is one of my favorite psalms, and it's Psalm 103. I want to just read a few of the verses. Psalm 103. I believe everybody knows the first few verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. That first verse gives a thought to me of this. Bless the Lord with every part of my being. With every part of my being, to thank the Lord. You know, what are we going to be doing for all eternity? Just that. Thanking the Lord for all eternity. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now think of all the benefits that He has given me all the way down through my life. And many more benefits because I'm a child of God. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to belong to the Lord Jesus. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Oh, we have been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies every day. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. These are wonderful because we belong to Him. Okay, let's go back to our chapter. Verse 31. Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 30 and 5 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 20 and 5 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. And he walked in the way of Asa his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Howbeit the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hananiah, who is mentioned in the books of the kings of Israel. After this, did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly the third time. He joined himself. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Ezon-Geber. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodavah of Mareshah prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord. I think of the grace of God for my own self in not allowing me to do some of the things that would be harmful to my soul. And many times I believe that the grace of God has come in my own life. And I believe it was the grace of God that came in here that Jehoshaphat was not allowed these ships. These ships were broken. Now that's the end of Jehoshaphat. That's the end of the story of Jehoshaphat. That's it. And I would just like to close my Bible now and say that's the end of the talk. But I can't. Because in the start of the next chapter, we have Jehoshaphat's son. Now remember what we've talked about with Jehoshaphat. He allied himself with the idolatrous kings of Israel. And what was the effect that it had on his family? Because these talks that Bruce wanted to have here were family oriented, and we want to carry on that theme. Jehoram was his son. Now look down here in chapter 21. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. Verse 4. Now Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father. He strengthened himself and slew all his brothers, or his brethren, with the sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel. He slew all his brethren. And Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. Now notice this. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Jehoram was a wicked king. He reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And you say, how did a thing like this happen? How come? You know who his wife was? It was Athaliah. And she was a very wicked, wicked queen. She came and she took over the throne of Israel. A very wicked queen. And you say, how did a thing like this happen? Well, you can't add to Scripture, can you? And Scripture doesn't tell us how it happened. But I'm going to close my Bible now and just sort of surmise. Maybe this is what happened. Here we go back to the 18th chapter, and we find Jehoshaphat, and we find Ahab. And Jehoshaphat is saying, to Jehoram, his son, Jehoram, Ahab wants me to go with him over to Ramoth-Gilead. Come with me, Jehoram. Come on. I guess he's a young feller. Okay, Jehoram, come on. And so there they go, and they go over and they meet Ahab. Okay. Jehoshaphat comes to Ahab. How do you do, Ahab? Ahab, I want you to meet Jehoram, my son. Oh, how do you do? Jehoram meets Ahab. There's an idolatrous king. Nice to meet you. Just a minute. Ahab says, Jehoram, I want you to meet my daughter, Athaliah. You see, that's how it could have happened. A very godly king associating himself with a very ungodly king. And what was the result? An ungodly son married to an ungodly woman and wickedness. It's solemn, isn't it? Because of the failure of one man, Jehoshaphat, a very godly man, associating himself with the ungodly kings of this world. You see the danger of it all? These are warnings in our lives. And God is warning us. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? So I think that's the lesson that we need to learn. The friendship of this world is enmity with God. Now, I've got to tell you that. And Wayne knows about it. And I know about it. Because when I was a young lad, I had ungodly friends. And they turned my heart away from the Lord's things. And those were wasted years, weren't they? Wasted years. When we could be studying the precious Word of God. And over the precious Word of God every day.